Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Scotia Speed World, right here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Tonight, it's a season opener for the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour here at this speedway and race two on the 2019 season. To say tonight's race has been anticipated is an understatement. The number 53, a Cole Butcher for Atlantic Tiltload, went to victory lane at Petty International Raceway. Last year's champ has got the jump on the field. Let's see what he can do tonight. We see some different cars here today than was at Petty International Raceway. To coin a phrase that Brad Mann always says, this one is going to be mighty interesting. Let's take you now to the racetrack. And tonight's Cummins 150. The stars are out in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Grab something cold to drink, Canada. You know what it is. It's race time in the Maritimes. And it starts right now. You picked the right time to tune into Racetime Radio as things are just about set to fire off. Let's throw it down to Tim Terry. How you making out down there, big guy?
Just a few more cars in the front, Joe, getting ready to get strapped in, ready to go. I think there's one or two maybe at the back of the field waiting for the high sign from Doug Burt, so we're probably about 45 seconds away.
Not too much longer at all, as we've got a beautiful night here. To begin this race, we're going to start out in daylight. Who knows? Maybe we're going to get this whole thing done with daylight, but you never know. It could fade to darkness, and things are going to change. We'll find out exactly what will change. And, Brad, I know you've been on this racetrack and doing this race before. Things do change quite a bit.
Well, they do. We're going to start it off here in the sun, so you'll have one thing, and as it goes on, the last, say, 50 laps, you may have another thing as the temperatures cool down. Notice that Cole Butcher, the 53 car, starts in the back. You have to qualify in the top 10 to get that 11th spot from last week's feature win. Cole caught up in a mess early, didn't qualify in the top 10, so that's why you see that 53 car in the back. So that's the rules this year. And look forward, that 53 car has been in the back before, so that'd be no trouble for him to work his way up through. And we got a lot of close competition, and how about Lonnie Somerville up in the front, back here for the first time since 4 or 5 years. So who knows who's going to get this one, but it's certainly going to be interesting.
Great to see Lonnie Somerville back with us here on the tour, at least for today. Hopefully we can get him back lots more. He fits this field so well. And how about the new competition, Dylan? We got a lot of new guys, and they don't look new by any stretch.
No, for example, Ryan Messer in that number one, what a show he put on during that heat. And I think we're getting ready here for all the drivers here to raise their hands for the crews and about ready to get things going here, Joe.
Rob Bonus, starter for the tour, is up on that flag stand. It looks like he's ready to go. We got scoring all set. All we're waiting on is that guy down on the front stretch.
You're talking about the 11 of Marty Prevost, because that's what we're waiting on.
We were talking about you, big guy.
We're waiting on the 11 of Marty Prevost to get strapped in, and as soon as they are ready to go, we're going to send this field off. So just a few more moments waiting for the high sign from the Robinson's Extreme Towing BTP Construction number 11.
Tim, remember a few years ago here at Scotia Speed World, we used to do 100-lap race here, and then we bumped it up to 150 on Canada's 150th birthday. Now, and we ran into a little bit of trouble with fuel mileage. Do you think we're going to see any of that here tonight?
We almost ran into it last week at Petty International Raceway. Let's put it that way. It goes with the amount of caution laps and the way the race runs in the first half. If the rhythm is quick, fuel probably not going to be an issue. If we run into a couple of cautions, we may have an issue with fuel, but it all depends on how big the fuel cell is, how packed they put the fuel in. There's all kinds of variants in here.
Yeah, lots of factors that go into it. Look at that field, Dylan. You can't get any better than that.
Oh, they're all beautiful-looking cars, and it's a beautiful Saturday night for some racing. Still waiting on the number 11, Marty Prevost, to raise their hand, and we can get fired up here. I mean, what a field here. I expect it's going to be a close one. You can see the 67, Dylan Blankhorn. He put a clinic on for that heat. Let's see if he can do it again and get back-to-back victories here at Scotia Speed World.
And if you haven't heard the news, of course, we got a lot of these Pro Stock Tour races to bring you live this year. We've added two new ones, and we got to thank Atlantic Tilt Load for that. We're going to PEI. We're going to go to Oyster Bed Speedway, and we're going to be live for the two races that happen out on the island. To say we're excited is an understatement.
Is Anne of Green Gables going to be one of your co-hosts?
Yeah. Who knows? I'm going to try and find Anne of Green Gables' house.
It's kicking around there.
Is it?
I think it's just down the road from Oyster Bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, talking to Bob out there, he's excited to have us out there. And it's time for some magic words, Tim Terry.
Drivers, start your engines!
And there we go. That's what we've been waiting to hear. The Cummins 150 is ready to go. As the crew members all start heading their way back to pit road, those drivers are all belted in. Engines are fired. Jerry Paxton, I don't know about you, but I'm getting those goosebumps happening.
Oh, yeah. I heard the firing of the engines, and that was all it took for me. I am over the moon happy here. I got little things crawling all over me, and I cannot wait to get this race underway. But as I said earlier, going to be a tough call to pick a winner, but I know we always like to try and do that before we get started. You know what? I'm going to do something I don't very often do. I'm going to go back in the field a couple of rows. I'm looking at the number five, at Jonathan Hicken. He was a little racy in that qualifying heat, but he only had 10 laps to get it done. This time he's got 150. I'm going to put my money on the boy from PEI.
How about that? How about you, Brad, man? Your turn. Who are you going to take in this one here tonight?
Well, you know, Joe, I'm pretty predictable. I had a little talk with my buddy in the 67 trailer. He tells me he's got enough to get it done. I'm going with Dylan Blakehorn. And if he can't get it done, I got a funny feeling this 42 team, Corey Hall, might be a sleeper.
No. You only get one pick there, big guy. One pick, and you pick the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm acting like Tim Terry again. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. I'll stick with Blakehorn.
Okay, well, we'll let Timmy catch his breath. I'm going to go to you, Dylan. Who you got for this one?
You know what? I'm feeling good about that number 23. Lonnie Somerville making the return here at Scotia Speed World. They had a great heat race, and I think that number 23 could be going to victory lane.
Okay, Tim, you've got your breath now. You got your wits about you. Who are you going to take in this one?
There's some really good picks that are gone.
Yeah, I know.
Give me Jared Butcher. Give me the 54 car.
Wouldn't that be so cool to see him get his first win here tonight?
That kid has been learning so much the last year. Was really quick at Petty. Was really quick here in qualifying. Give me the Superior Foundations 54.
Okay, and we will do that. Now it's my turn. And I'm going to tell you, and I've taken this guy a number of times at this racetrack, and it hasn't panned out, but I'm going to take Donald Chisholm in the 89 Nova Celtic Ford. His daughter won here last night. I think baby Emily has broke the curse, and I think Donald's going to do well here tonight.
Well, you know that if he doesn't win, he's going to hear it on Sunday night around the dinner table, right?
Yeah, he's going to hear it big time. As the field is all doubled up behind the Scotia Speed World official pace car and the beautiful field of cars here tonight. What do we got, 26?
24.
24 we're starting here tonight. Tim, I think we got the big wave coming up.
We're getting ready next time by. We're going to get these drivers on edge next time by. They're still getting some heat in the tires, heat in the brakes, and Rob Bone is still waving the caution flag. We're going to get one more lap in here before we get these drivers going for 150 green flag laps presented by Cummins. And looks like the field doubled up side by side, 12 rows deep. Ladies and gentlemen, this time by, we want you on your feet. Grab your hats, grab your jackets, grab your programs, grab your signs, your next door neighbor, whatever's not bolted down here at Scotia Speed World. Let's wave these drivers on and get them on edge for 150 laps. Come on, everybody on your feet. Get to waving. They'll wave back at you, saluting you for coming out and supporting them in round number two, the Cummins 150.
And what a beautiful field of super late models here tonight at Scotia Speed World. They're going to circulate around here at least one more time, get those temperatures up, get everything set and ready to go. And Rob Bonus, starter for the Parts for Trucks Tour, indicates one to go. That pace car is going to hit pit road, Jerry, and things are going to come alive.
Are they ever, because these guys are ready to rock, as they say. I'm watching that front row. I know it's a pace lap, but they are just playing with each other. The head games have already begun. We haven't got a green flag, but we do now as they come out of turn four. Down the front straightaway, it's Sean Turple in the zero. He gets the early lead into turn number one. Blakehorn underneath him, though, is going to fight back down the back straightaway.
Back now down into three. It's Blakehorn and Turple going at it door to door. Slonway looking there. Somerville up on the outside. Did he give that one to Turple?
And Turple picks it up again as they come out of turn two down the back straightaway. Blakehorn just about a half a car length back of him. Slon White in the 99 trying to follow Blakehorn. He knows the fast car.
The outside line looks out right now. The zero car of Turple trying to take that advantage away from the 67 of Blakehorn. Look at Somerville move. Lonnie Somerville up to position number three and tracking down the zero on the outside and trying to pass Dylan Blakehorn.
Somerville didn't slide in the inside lane there. Now he will behind the number 67 of Dylan Blakehorn. Still dueling out for first place with Turple in the zero and Blakehorn in the 67. What great side-by-side racing we have only four laps in.
Blakehorn will lead that lap back down. Edges out Turple at the start-finish line.
And a big wreck, sorry to interrupt. The number 18, the 49 of Haas and Pierce collect each other on the front stretch.
So dead even heat between Blakehorn as he edged zero the Turple back, but they'll go back to the last completed lap, so they will probably see Turple back on the pole. Not much difference up front, Joe. Somerville looking comfortable sitting there in third.
Yeah, he sure did, Brad. Looking at what took place here on the front stretch, I think the car that's going to be worse for wear here, and I can't see the left side of the 21 of Pierce, but I
He's
see
put
the
window net
coming down, so it could mean disaster for him. The 49 of Harry Ross White is able to roll away under his power. Same with the 18 of McKinnon and the 44. But there is tension going to be needed for that 21, Tim.
So it looks like the 18 just has some more or less body damage as it rolls by me here, Joe, on pit road. So doesn't look anything serious for the 18. The body tore up a little bit behind where the exhaust pipe comes out the door on the passenger side.
And that's where the 21 of Sean Pierce got into Darren. It looked like Darren was by that just until that one little glancing blow, and it sent the 18 car to pit road. But, Brad, how does the 21 car look from the left-hand side down there?
I can't really get a good look at it here, Tim, because there's one of the advertising signs blocking it, but they're taking the hood off it now, so it may be electrical trouble that stopped that 21 car. Looks like the left side looks a bit okay.
And the 49 of Harry Ross White in his pit, they're pulling the sheet metal off the right rear tire. It was literally right down on the tire. They had to get that off of there in a hurry, and they're having a quick look around the rest of the car, make sure nothing else is rubbing.
Sean had something break in the right front of Petty on a restart, and it was a hard hit. We caught it on one of the Tim's Corner onboards, and there was no saving that car, Dylan. I know you saw that one going down into turn one on the replay, and it destroyed a lot, and they massaged a little bit of it. Sean Pierce is out of the race car. Good to see. But two straight weeks of heartbreak here.
That's a heartbreaker for him. It's coming up from the South Shore here in Nova Scotia. My defense partner, which is a shame to see him go down like this, but tough to see only three laps in this race, and that number 21 car is going home early today.
Take it away there, Brad. What are you seeing?
Well, I can't see a whole lot here. It looks like it might be electrical on the 21 car. The left side of it looks fine. Nicholas Nogle had a pit stop. They did a little adjustment in the right rear on the wedge on that car. He was collected earlier in the race. Looks like an open wheel modified out there with no front on. But they got that car back together. Probably had to bolt a lot of right front parts off after the incident in the heat race. But the rest of them look pretty good.
Then the 18 of Darren McKinnon is going to join up again. There's a whole lot of 100 mile an hour tape on the front end of that car and down the right hand side. So they've put that back together the best they can, sent Darren McKinnon back out on the racetrack.
That'll knock the new out of a race car pretty quick, won't it? When you get out here, you get some donuts on it, you get some marks. It sort of puts you right into the race mode now. The car show part is over.
Absolutely, it is. It's time to get up on the wheel. And tough break for Sean Pierce for a second week in a row. And I'm sure Kelly McIntyre and the crew will go at that and see if they can find something simple, at least, to that race car. The A1 Towing and Recovery crew will pull it back into pit road. But we mentioned it for some of these drivers. It's their first race of the season. Allison McKinnon, the Oyster Bed right stop. Outriders Cookhouse 07. You look back to Donald Chisholm, John Fleming, some big names that are making their first start today for the season. And some of them are just trying to shake the cobwebs out, trying to see what their cars have. Some brand new builds in the case of the 89 of Donald Chisholm. So some stories there. And I should mention as well, I talked to Waylon Farrell before we went to driver introductions, and I asked, so what happened in that heat race? I thought it was the checkered flag.
And you know what? It happens.
And you know what? Frankie was in my ear and told me it wasn't the checkered flag, so I quickly learned that it wasn't. It was the white flag, so he's got some work to do, but the 48 car's got a fast piece underneath him, too.
Well, you wouldn't want to make that mistake on lap 150 here tonight. You wouldn't want to do that around 149, but I guarantee you it wouldn't.
One car that keeps going in the pits, I noticed, is Russell Smith Jr., 44. That car has been in down pit road at least twice now here on this caution. Maybe a little issue on that 44, Brad?
Well, they've had some radio issues with it, I would say. They've been in the window on the driver's side trying to get some radio communications going. So all the work was done just in the driver's side by where you keep your radio. So I would say it was communication problems they were having with the 44 car.
And down at your end of the pits, you're in the 49 of Harry Ross. Why, Big Hoss, he's back.
Well, they got the right rear wheel off the car and under the some damage underneath. And I grabbed one of the crew guys and said, is it fatal? He said, well, it ain't good. So they've got the wheel back on. They're about to send it back out. Whatever it was, they got it looked after, but it was definitely in the rear end.
We can cheat in and see if we can hear what's going on with some of these teams. We'll see. Beautiful night here at Scotia Speed World. If you are just tuned into Racetime Radio, it is the Cummins 150 here tonight. We are three laps in before we had cautioned on the front stretch, but I'll tell you what, you got the starter, Rob Bonus. He's got the green flag rolled up, and we're going to go back to green flag racing on this next lap as the pace car hits pit road. And we'll get our rotation going here. Jerry, over to you.
Here they come out of turn number four, greeted by the green flag, and we are back to racing. On the outside, this time, Dylan Blankhorn trying to get the advantage on the zero of Sean Turple. He does as they go down the back straightaway. The nose is out in front. The 67 has taken the lead away from the zero of Turple. Down the front straightaway, Turple tries to get it back, but no go. In behind him, the 99 of Craig Slongwhite is up to third. Lonnie Somerville in the 23rd on the move up to fourth and sets his sights on Slongwhite.
Along comes Hicken right behind Lonnie Somerville. Ken Vincent caught up on the outside. Chisholm slipping in behind Hicken. Up on the high side of Hicken is a 54 car. Jared's moving up through the field. Jared Butcher on the move.
Butcher to the outside, trying to follow Ken Vincent through on that outside line. Jonathan Hicken on the inside, battling for position number five. Donald Chisholm begins to move as well in the 89 to the inside of the 54 of Butcher. Vincent gives up the spot to the 5 of Jonathan Hicken, and now Hicken sets his sights on Lonnie.
And Somerville is now looking on the inside of Slongwhite, the 99. Can he get on the inside of him in the middle of 1 and 2? He can, but can he clear him on the backstretch? Oh, Slongwhite's going to get out just in front just a little bit. Great side-by-side racing between also Jared Butcher and Kent Vincent in the 8 and the 54.
And down the front straightaway into turn number one, Lonnie Somerville going to work on the 99 to Craig Slongwhite, trying to get underneath him as they come down to turn number three. As they bring it around out of four, and Slongwhite a little bit loose coming off the high side of the racetrack, holds on to the position, though him and Somerville not giving it up yet.
Now it's Hicken sitting in behind, seeing what's going to take place between Somerville and Slongwhite as they go door handle to door handle. Along come Ken Vincent, Darrell Jared Butcher side by side, Chisholm sitting in behind them, and Gosby's moved up in behind Chisholm.
54 and Jared Butcher trying to take that outside line around the 8 car of Kent Vincent. The 54 seems to like that second groove here at Scotia Speed World early in this Cummins 150. Jonathan Hicken just in front of them has caught that side-by-side battle between Somerville and Slongwhite. Your top two have checked out with Blankhorn leading.
That is the big battle here at Scotia Speed World. Jonathan Hicken sitting in the captain's seat trying to see what transpires between Lonnie Somerville and the 99. Two cars that have TCM onboards, may I add here. They are putting on a great show. And another side-by-side battle behind them. Jared Butcher still battling with Ken Vincent, Donald Chisholm behind them as they all stack up in three single file.
14 laps complete here tonight in the Cummins 150. 14 laps complete. You got the 67 of Langhorne, the 0 of Turbo, and the 23 of Robbie Somerville are your top three right now. And Jerry, what a fight behind that.
And the battle really is up in that third spot now as Jonathan Hicken brings the 5 car up alongside the 23 of Lonnie Somerville. Hicken moving towards the front. Somerville not ready to give it up yet, but now here they line up behind Hicken. The 99 of Slomwhite, the 8 of Ken Vincent, Donald Chisholm in the 89. All of those guys lined up on the bottom of the racetrack trying to make their way forward.
The guys really on the move right now is Cole Butcher. He's come from the back. Corey Hall trying to follow him up through. Meanwhile, Somerville slips up outside. Jonathan Hicken looking to get underneath him, and he will, but they're going to come up on that car.
The field puts a lap on the 07 of Allison McKinnon and the 02 of Craig Ward. Lonnie Somerville working by the 02. They'll have to get single file around. Ward is going to get tight as Kent Vincent trying to pass Swanwhite. Three wide for a moment around the 02. They get it back to two abreast, but some close quarter racing there for some positions. Chisholm and the 54 Butcher make a little contact as they lap the 02.
There is not a lot of real estate. Three wide between the 47, the 91, and the 53. It's all tight racing here at Scotia Speed World as they catch up and go through some lap traffic. Up in front, it's Dylan Blankhorn in the 67 pulling away from Sean Turnbull.
This is where your spotters come in handy to look ahead to tell you when there's a lap car in the bottom to move up in, outside so you don't get pinched down behind. They're busy lapping the 07 car in McKinnon now, and it's a single file freight train on the outside.
And that is one big traffic jam still as they fight it out for that fourth and fifth position. Jared Butcher is on the inside against the 99 of Slomwhite. He makes quick work of him down in turns one and two. Cole Butcher and Donald Chisholm running side by side, the 53 and the 989, right in behind Slomwhite. And I'm not sure if the front end of Chisholm's car may have got a little out of whack as he got squeezed in a three-car battle down here in turn two a couple of laps ago.
The lap traffic has allowed that front pack to get single file. The top two have still broken away from the third place battle, which is now Lonnie Somerville holding off the five of Jonathan Hicken. Butcher is moving. He's side by side with Chisholm and trying to get that nose to the inside of the Hayden Auto, number 99 of Craig Slonwhite, toe to toe at a turn for the 53, trying to take one more.
Cole Butcher is on a boogie, but also Jared Butcher doing a great job. Now the brothers are right next to each other. Cole Butcher started at the rear end of this field, and he is picking off cars one by one here. Still a fantastic battle between Lonnie Somerville and Jonathan Hicken. That battle for third has been heating up here, Joe.
It sure is. 26 laps complete of tonight's Cummins 150 live from Scotia Speed World. It is the Mercer Truck Stewart here tonight in a beautiful night, perfect night for a race, Jerry, and it is heating up. 67 out front.
Oh, it's getting to be a lot more fun down on the racetrack as the number five of Jonathan Hicken is up in the third spot. Puts the 23 of Somerville just behind him. Somerville trying to fight back on the outside. It's not going to work as they exit turn two. Down the back straightaway, Hicken in front of the 23. Kent Vincent now drops the 8 car under the 23 of Somerville. He's going to try to take that spot away.
The man on the move is the 53 of Cole Butcher. He's come from 20th. He's already up to 6. He's on the tail end of his brother's bumper, Jared Butcher. Now he's going to put the 53 tilt boat up outside, trying to take that spot away. Hicken settles into third. Somerville back to fourth. Now it's Kent Vincent settling in behind him. Cole Butcher all over the back bumper. Jared coming off of four. He'll look underneath him to take that spot.
The 8 of Vincent, the 54 of Butcher, put on a show for a few laps, but now insert Cole Butcher to the inside of his brother Jared. They'll go side by side down the back straightaway. The 8 car of Kent Vincent looks back and sees a whole lot of Atlantic tilt load as they come up out of corner number 4. Lonnie Somerville just ahead of this battle as the field puts the 02 of Ward one more lap down, and coming up on Haas is Dylan Blankhorn.
Dylan Blankhorn's using some of these lap cars as a pick to block Sean Turple, but the big battle is for fourth between four cars, Somerville, Vincent, and the Butchers. Now Jared Butcher looking on the high side of Kent Vincent in the middle of one and two. Can he get a big drag race down here? And they have slower cars also in front of him, including the 02.
And it's Butcher on the outside of Vincent looking to take that spot away. They're going to come up to the lap cars here, and the Butcher brothers are going to be in a better spot up on the outside. Somerville stuck it up outside of the 0-2, lapping him. Ken Vincent will pinch it down behind, but he's going to get caught there.
Ken Vincent had nowhere to go. There was no place for him in the high line. He got stuck behind the lap car. Jared Butcher goes by. Cole Butcher goes by. Donald Chisholm in the number 89 lines up behind. He's about to go around him as well. Then that 42 car of Chris Hughes, or I'm sorry, Corey Hall. Corey Hall following Donald Chisholm around. They're a little bit of a freight train in the outside lane now as they come around the lap car.
And it's Cole. Jared Butcher looks underneath Somerville. He was under his bumper coming out of turn four. He's looking to take that spot away on the bottom. But Somerville will pull him going down the backstretch. Somerville will hang on to the spot. It's Jared Butcher, Cole Butcher in tow. And it'll be followed by Ken Jensen, Donald Chisholm, and Corey Hall, bumper to bumper.
It's almost like he saw his brother coming in the rearview mirror, and Jared Butcher has stepped it up. The 53 is still behind the 54, but the 23 of Lonnie Somerville now feeling the heat from the Superior Foundation's 54. Somerville to the outside. The 54 has a nose there to the inside. They'll be side by side in turn two as they drag race down the back.
Jared Butcher trying to make the move in the middle of one and two. Now he's going to do that move in the edge of three and four. They make contact. Somerville gets shoved out. Jared Butcher moves up to four.
40 laps complete of tonight. 150 here at Scotia Speedrill. Tim Terry, why don't you take us through the field here, buddy?
Up top is the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn. He leads the zero car of Sean Turple, and they have a little bit of an advantage on third place, Jonathan Hicken. Fourth is a battle for fourth between Jared Butcher and Cole Butcher, the 23 of Lonnie Somerville, now having to hold off the eight car of Kent Vincent. Balance of your top 10 includes Donald Chisholm and Corey Hall, who go side by side. And then a battle between the 99 of Craig Slonwhite, the 29 of Greg Proud coming through towards the front of the field. Your remaining lead lap cars include the likes of Dylan Gosby in the 91, John Fleming in the 97, Chris Hughes in the 82, the 18 of Darren McKinnon, and three wide behind them, Waylon Farrell, Craig Ward, and Marty Brevo going at it, Ryan Messer and Nicholas Noggle. Still on the lead lap at this point, Russell Smith Jr. just goes one lap down.
And it's Blakehorn will continue to set a torrid pace here with 44 laps in the book. He's got a half straightaway lead over Sean Turple. Three car lengths back to Hicken. And here comes Jared Butcher with his brother Cole in tow. They'll round out the top five. Somerville slides back to six.
And right behind Somerville, the number 8 of Ken Vincent still working to try to get around the number 42 of Corey Hall. He's at work. They are single filing it. Right behind him is the 89 of Donald Chisholm. So four cars lined up nose to tail in the middle of the field. And then a little bit of a gap back to the 99 of Slonwhite, the 29 of Proud, and the 91 of Gosby.
Lonnie Somerville's fallen back here to a battle between him, the 8 of Kent Vincent, the 47 of Corey Hall, and then the 89 of Donald Chisholm. Dylan falling off the pace a little bit of that battle, but it looks like one of the drivers on the move, the 47 of Corey Hall, just like he did at Petty 1 week ago.
Oh, he's put on a fantastic clinic in that number 47 car, but also, oh, spinner, we have Noggle spinning out in front of second place Turple. No one hits him. I was just going to mention, Jonathan Hicken and the Butchers were catching up to second very quickly.
Wow.
We're going to step out, take a quick break here on Racetime Radio. We will be back. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia. Let the celebration begin. It's 50 years for Riverside International Speedway in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. And Racetime Radio will be live Saturday, June the 8th for the Riverside International Speedway season opener. It's live flight-to-flight coverage of the Kaylee Honda Triple 50s, featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Saturday, June the 8th.
Am I allowed to burn her down?
Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Burn the mother down.
For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
And we are back with you live at Scotia Speed World. We can't stay away too long here, Jerry. We're going to get these cars lined back up. Looks like they're doubling up now.
And they're getting set to go back to racing here at Scotia Speed World. 49, a Haas White. They're giving him a little push out of the pits. They're still working on that rear end. If you look at it, the right rear looks like the body's hanging well down on that one. And let me throw a little scare into you here. I hope the rest of the field's not listening. I talked to one of Dylan Blankhorn's crew members. He tells me Dylan's telling them he's not using full throttle on that car yet.
Oh, man, that thing's flying. What do you think, Brad? What are you taking away so far, 47 laps in?
Well, Blankhorn seems to have the class of the field here early, and he's, he's veteran enough now, Joe, to be saving the race car with that big of a lead. He doesn't have to push it, so I would say he's saving the race car pretty good, but he better save it, because I'll tell you, the 53 car and the 54 car, they're coming through the field in a hurry, and they'll be there before long. So if he's be smart to be saving something, he's about to get some heavy competition shortly. Looks like the 08 car, Nicholas Noggle, is out of the car. They broke something in the left rear, so he's out of the car. Looks like that car is done for the day.
Tough deal for Nicholas, as the field is all doubled up now. Rob Bonus shows the guys. We're going to go back to green here in the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World, as the lights are out on the pace car. It's going to head down pit road, and there it goes. And here comes the field, side by side, 47 complete, Jerry.
And the green flag is in the air as Dylan Blankhorn races down into turns one and two. He's got a car length right on his tail, the number five of Jonathan Hicken. Hicken on the move, Sean Turple in the zero up on the outside lane, and Hicken's giving him a race for second spot. Right behind them, the 53 of Cole Butcher, the 54 of Jared Butcher. They are side by side. The brothers are battling it out. Nobody's going to win that fight.
Well, it's Cole Butcher on the bottom. Turple didn't get a very good restart, so that opened the door for Hicken to get in there, but Butcher's up to four. Cole is looking to hit that spot. As soon as Hicken clears him, he's all over the back bumper. Hicken looking to get by Turple. He does. Hicken clears him. Now it's Cole Butcher on the inside of Turple. Jared Butcher following through, followed by Somerville and Kent Vincent.
91 car sideways midway through the pack as Gosby clears the 29 of Greg Brown. The 82 of Chris Hughes battles there as well. Your top two are single file, and it might be top three shortly because Cole Butcher about to clear the zero car of Sean Turple down into corner number two. And here comes the 54 nipping at the rear bumper of the next car.
Sean Turple squeezed in between a couple of Butchers here at Scotia Speed World. Cole Butcher is on the move, started 20th here, and now he is all the way up to third and trying to pounce on Jonathan Hicken in that number five. I got to tell you, if Dylan Blankhorn has any competition tonight, it's Mr. Butcher in the 53.
You can't help but forget that Butcher's won the last couple of races here, and he's been dominant at this racetrack, ending the season last year on a dominant note. So he knows the setup here for Scotia, so he'll be giving Blankhorn some company shortly.
Up in front continues to be the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn, leading the way by about four lengths. Battle for position number four heats up. It's Jared Butcher to the inside of the zero car of Turple. He'll dance down the back straight away. Lonnie Somerville two lengths behind them, but Dylan continues to be the 54 car marching towards the front.
Oh, he's putting on a great show here. Jared Butcher, as I mentioned, you know, last year, Jared was doing good, but he's put on really improved this year so far, and he's going to try and clear Sean Turpo in the zero. And Sean Turpo and Cole had a couple of battles last year, including one at Riverside where there was a photo finish. Now Jared Butcher clears the zero. Monty Somerville behind that battle, along with Ken Vincent and Corey Hall in that 47, having a tremendous day.
Had an opportunity to talk to Jared Butcher's dad in the pits earlier. Jared spending more time on the car this winter, showing a lot more interest, a couple of crew changes to go over to the 54 to help Jared along, and it's certainly showing as he's been a top runner here in the first two races of the tour.
Jared, or rather Cole Butcher in that number 53, is desperate to get around the five of Jonathan Hinken. Coming through turns one and two the last time around, he dropped the two left side wheels right almost onto the middle of the Bando track. But he's just looking for an advantage. He saw what happened to Turple on the outside. Butcher's making sure he stays down low. He wants that spot. He wants it on the low side.
Jonathan Hicken certainly isn't an easy guy to get around. He's like your Ryan Newman in NASCAR, always giving every lap the best. So that's a hard car to get around, and Butcher will have to work hard getting around that five car Hicken as they continue to battle for that second spot. Jared sitting in fourth. Now Turple boxes Somerville in, and he's going to take over the fifth spot.
They'll go around the 07 of Allison McKinnon and put him a lap down as the zero car of Turple will take that spot for the time being. The 23 will once again have to be on the attack. The 8 of Vincent, the 47 of Corey Hall right behind them, and the 89 of Donald Chisholm in that little freight train as well. Up in front, the 5 of Jonathan Hicken continues to hold off over the 53 of Cole Butcher. Little slide there, and maybe a little contact between the 54 and the 02 of Craig Ward.
Yeah, Jared Butcher's rear end clipped the front end of Mr. Ward in the 02, but they break free, and your top four now get around the lap traffic, and there won't be any lap traffic for the next little bit. Dylan Blackhorn has about half the straightaway in front of Jonathan Hicken, and Jonathan Hicken is trying to pull away from a very fast, tragic Cole Butcher.
Well, Blakehorn looks like he's on cruise control, about four lengths back to the five of Hicken. Now, Cole Butcher's falling off the pace. Jarrett's looking to the inside to take that third spot away.
And down the back straightaway it is. Jared Butcher, something is wrong on the 53. He is well off the pace as Jared Butcher brings the 54 car up to the third spot, and he is still moving forward. In behind the 53 is the zero of Sean Turpo. That car looks a little loose in the corner as he's sliding it around. 23 of Lonnie Somerville, then the 8 of Kent Vincent. And behind him, the number 47 of Corey Hall. Dylan Blankhorn in that number 67, though, continues to drive it around. As Brad said, looks like cruise control. His laps are consistent, and he's hitting all his marks. He's just running that car and making sure he stays in front.
One thing about having a comfortable lead, you don't have to abuse the brakes. You don't have to abuse the tires. That's what Blakehorn has in his favor. Back about five lengths, Hicken's fighting fiercely, trying to close that gap on the leader. Jared Butcher and Cole Butcher continue to go at it, about two car lengths between them. Turple settles into fifth. Somerville followed by Ken Vincent and Corey Hall coming up through the field.
Corey Hall hot on the heels of that 8 car. Kent Vincent. Vincent now pouring a little bit of pressure on the Pubs drive-through bottle exchange, number 23 of Lonnie Somerville. First side-by-side battle, Dylan. Appeared to be the 82 of Chris Hughes and the 89 of Donald Chisholm, but they get it back to single file. Donald likes that high side. Chris Hughes is hugging that inside line, making a nice little battle there.
Oh, it's been a tremendous battle, and now Dylan Blankhorn's going to have two cars in front of him, Russell Smith Jr. and McKinnon, and I wonder if that will maybe slow him up a bit. Jonathan Hicken, I've been noticing that Toyota Camry has been creeping up on the 67 lap by lap here, and this could be a good opportunity for him to pounce.
Corey Hall just went around the 8 car. It looks like that outside groove starting to come in. He stuck it up on the high side, and he got around the 8 car with ease. Now he sets his sights on Somerville.
And slowly the leader, Dylan Blankhorn in that number 67, picking his way around those lap cars, making sure that he gets by safely. Jonathan Hicken now within about three car lengths of Dylan Blankhorn as they go down the back straightaway. The 54, Jared Butcher, right behind the 5 of Hicken. And suddenly the big gap that Dylan Blankhorn had has been chiseled down to just a couple of car lengths.
And just like that, we're halfway in this Cummins 150. 75 down, 75 to go.
didn't see the cross flag.
I didn't see the cross flag either. I've been watching the leaderboard, but we are halfway home in this one.
Yeah.
So easy math, right?
Yeah. Well, rookie on this bike.
Something like that. Yeah. 77 laps completed now, and Blank Horn continues to pull away from the 5 of Hicken, but boys, I think the 5 is going to have company because Jared Butcher has found something here.
Yeah, 78 laps complete now in tonight's Cummins 150. Live from Scotia Speed World, it is race 2 of the Parts for Trucks series schedule for 2019. Next up, Riverside next weekend. You don't want to miss that. We'll be live for it. Tim, what do you say you take us through the field here?
The 67 of Dylan Blankhorn continues to lead here as he'll cross lap 80 right here. The 5 of Jonathan Hicken in second. The 54 of Jared Butcher in third. And it looks like they've closed the gap on that 67 of Blankhorn through the lap traffic. They're putting a lap now on Harry Ross White.
That one's close.
Contact between the number one Ryan Messer and Greg Proud in the 29. They did not wreck. We are still green flag racing, but almost jumped into my seat there. It's coming up to right in front of the leaders too.
Balance of your lap cars include the 53 of Cole Butcher in fourth, fifth is Sean Turbo. Battle. Oh, contact! Hall into Somerville sends him around.
It's Vincent, and Vincent cuts down on the track and holds it. And
Chris Hughes may have got a little kiss there on the front end. A
lot of front-end damage on that number 23, Lonnie Somerville.
Just a touch. Brad, you probably had a bird's-eye view of that, baby.
Yeah, the 42 Hall got just in the back of Somerville. When he got tied around, car sitting in behind Somerville tried to clear the outside and just caught the right front. So it would be, looks like a lot of sheet metal damage as the 23 comes to pit road, along with Slonwhite ducks down pit road also.
Man, that's a tough deal. The 23 was having a good run here. I know he was fading back a wee bit, Brad, but could he have been letting those tires cool off a little bit when disaster breaks out?
Well, he was extremely loose on the backstretch, Joe. He was really, really on the loose side, gathering it up a couple times on the backstretch. So when your race car is really loose like that, you're just barely hanging on the turn, and the Hall car got into him, just touched him a little bit, and that's all it takes to go around. So
tough
break for him. Pit road getting busy. 97 five-time champion Fleming in for some adjustments, along with Slonwhite rolls down pit road also.
Yeah, and here comes the 11 of Prevost, the 44 of Russell Smith Jr., the 1 of Esser, 29 of Proud, 91 of Gosby, 23 of Slonwhite, and the 99. Look at that, man. We got the 23.
Somerville.
And Slonwhite in the 99. Busy spot, pit road.
So we got Cole Butcher just rolls into pit road here, too. They're right at the radio contact of that car. They're in on the left side, so something off on the 53 car. It's on pit road.
They were giving a little attention to the rear end of the 91 of Gosby. He pulls away. The 29 of Proud back on the speedway. The 99 of Slonwhite still up on the jack. The 23 team is attending to the front end. Actually, I see a couple of Turples teammates by the looks of it down there helping out Lonnie Somerville as well. So great to have some cooperation down there as Nicholas Noggle pulls it into the backfield. He's definitely done for the
night. Unlike our 200 that we have to cap the season here at Scotia Speed World, or the 250, the CAT 250 or IWK 250, that will historically have a halfway break, and teams will come down for adjustments. We run a 150. There is no halfway break or intermission, if you will. So guys are ducking down. They're getting some small adjustments by the look of it, Brad, and then returning.
Well, Corey Hall's on pit road because he's got to go to the back anyway for the no-fault racing. So smart move by that team. They're going to come down here, and they're making an adjustment on the sway bar in the front. So it didn't hurt him to duck in the pit. Obviously, he wanted the car a little bit better. And you see Rolly McDonald over here from McDonald Racing. That car is housed out of there. So Rolly doing some final adjustments himself here on the right rear.
Well, let me set the stage for you, listeners. Lap 81 of tonight's Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World. You got Jerry Paxton down there overlooking turns 1 and 2 calling the action. You got Brad Mann in turn 3, 4. Tim Terry in the booth, along with Dylan Langell and myself, Joe Chisholm, here tonight on a beautiful night in Halifax. Man, this is a place to be right here and right now. I want to remind you At the completion of tonight's race, you may want to turn on FansChoice.tv and check out our national series, our NASCAR Pinty series. The race from Jukasa is live tonight on FansChoice.tv. So we had some big stuff happen last night for Canada, live broadcasting on MAV-TV, and it was live from Osweekin Speedway on the dirt, something you're familiar with there,
Dirt track racing. Yeah, you got to love the dirt. And how about that first Pinty's race we had at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park? A great move by Kevin Lacroix to take the lead from Andrew Ranger to... Very great road course racers, and that was a great finish. And at arguably Canada's crown jewel for oval racing at Jukasa tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, the last race there last year to cap the season, the 2018 season, I was at it along with my son Joe. Of course, he spots for Andrew Ranger, driver of the number 27 Mopar Dodge in that series, but DJ Kennington won that race at the end of the season. They're looking at DJ having the momentum in that Castrol Edge Dodge to go for it tonight at Jukasa. But I'll tell you what, speaking with Junior, he said the competition this year in that series is over the top.
I see the field is getting ready to double up. I do see Lonnie Somerville out of the race car. I don't know if Jerry can maybe scoot down and grab a word with Lonnie on the next caution flag, but he's out of the race car, driving suits down, so it looks like the night is done for Lonnie Somerville.
Oh, yeah, the 23 car is done. I did get down to the pit. They just said, nope, the damage to the car, too much. They can't get it fixed, so they're calling it a night.
Breaking news, too, on pit road. Cole Butcher out of the car. Trouble with the 53 car in the left front. Looks like that car is parked for the night as Cole Butcher gets out of the seat.
Oh, man. As the pace car hits pit road, we're going to hit the loud pedal. 81 laps complete. Green flag out, Jerry.
And down they come into turns one and two. Dylan Blankhorn will quickly put it out in front. Jonathan Hickett and the 54, Jared Butcher, they quickly get in the single file. And again, the zero of Sean Turpo on the outside. He's racing hard this time. He may have found something on that outside groove. He's given Jared Butcher a real run for that third position. Right behind them, running in fifth, is the 8 of Kent Vincent.
And it was Hicken getting the bumper on that first lap right in under. Head to 67, jacked up in the air when they went back to green. So that's what backed up the field a little bit. While Jared Butcher goes at it with Sean Turple. Jared Butcher on the bottom, Turple up high. And Kent Vincent slips in there. He missed the wreck and didn't damage that race car. He sits in fifth.
That's Hero Car likes that outside line, but it's falling to position number 4 right now. And Vincent going to try to sneak the nose underneath the Dexter Construction Zero Car, and they'll battle it out for position number 4. And look who's creeping up through the picture. How about Chris Hughes in the 82 car? Another top 10 run here, working in position number 6.
That could be perhaps a dark horse here at Scotia Speedworld tonight for the Cummins 150. Sitting in the back for most of the beginning of this race, but we're across the halfway point. That 82 working their way up. Jonathan Hickett, when we got on the restart, did get underneath Dylan Blankhorn just a little bit. He's not giving up, only about 2 car lengths away.
Jerry, remember at the beginning of the race, the 18 of McKinnon was tied up in a kerfuffle at the start-finish line. Have a look at where he is now. He's busting into the top 10, buddy.
He's chasing down the 89 of Donald Chisholm as they go down the back straight to turns 3 and 4. And that is a battle for about 7th place. And there are just battles for position everywhere. The car now starting to move. Corey Hall, that number 47, he's trying to get around the 99 to Craig Slongwhite. He is currently side by side.
Corey Hall came from the back on that last restart as he was sent for the tail with the spin from Somerville. He's worked his way already back up to 10th. Up front, it's single file. Blakehorn, Hicken, Jared Butcher, Vincent and Turple continue to go at it side by side. Now we got Vincent up the outside, Turple underneath him.
Behind them, the driver on the move is Darren McKinnon. Just made a move on Donald Chisholm and now sets his sights on the Subaru of Moncton. Number 82 of Chris Hughes in front of them. Turple gets a little sideways on that inside, allows Kent Vincent to take that spot. Little wiggle there from the 0 to the 8 of Kent Vincent. Turple wants that spot back and wants some racing room on the inside.
The top three have broken away from Kent Vincent onward. That is a terrific battle. For fourth place, the Islander, Kent Vincent, holding off a fast-charging 0 along with a really fast 82 and then a really fast 18. these cars are really showing what they got in the latter stages of this race. But Cummins 150 at Scotia SpeedWorld. Now we go single file through your top seven.
94 laps complete as they cross the line. Terry, I don't think this is even close to being somewhat decided.
Oh, not even close. They have got a lot of fighting yet to do. Dylan Blakehorn in that 67 has been the dominant car, but Jonathan Hicken, I don't know if he's got anything left. We're going to find out in the next 50 laps. And behind him, the 54, Jared Butcher. And he is one determined young driver as he now goes to the outside looking to get around the five of Hicken. He wants to go to second so he can chase down Blakehorn.
Well, Hicken's got his hands full with Jared Butcher all over his bumper. But the bottleneck from fourth on back to 10th is wild. Corey Hall and Donald Chisholm going at it side by side for that ninth spot.
Just in front of them, it's the 30 or the 82 of Chris Hughes to the inside of the zero car of Turple. Chris Hughes is on the margin this time by across the stripe. It was the zero car of Turple that had that spot, but they were mighty, mighty even behind them, side by side with Hall and Chisholm, and side by side with Farrow and Gosby. Proud around into the 29.
Greg Crowd spins out on the back stretch, no caution yet. And there is the yellow flag from Rock Bonus. And we have a caution. Weirdly enough, every caution almost so far has been almost at a third of the race.
Yeah, it sure has been, Dylan. Watching just before this yellow came out, I seen the 11 with some contact on the back end of the 29 coming down the front stretch. So not quite sure what's going on, but the big red Dodge, the big motor car, could have something slipping, could have a little bit of a problem there. And sure enough, on the exit of turn two, the 29 goes for a whirl. Luckily, no damage, but haven't seen a brief fire yet. Is it running over there, Jerry? Can you tell?
Not that I can see or hear. Looks like he is off the racetrack. He's back into the grass there. But I don't think the car's running, and I haven't seen Greg make any effort to climb out of the car, so looks like he just needs a little push start to get it going.
In this world of crate engines, and you know, the overwhelming majority of these cars, Bradman, do have crate engines in them. Not that number 29. That car's still got the big rocket under the hood.
Yeah, Greg's always liked the big Dodge power, and he's one of the last ones on the tour actually to run the big horsepower. I know one of Chisholm's cars had a big motor before, but I think they've gone to all crates. Turple, one of the last guys to go to crates, too. And the reason you go to the crate engines is cost. You buy these things for $6,200, and they run on pump gas. You run them 2 or 3 years, you sell them to guys that's got hot rods for $3,500, and you buy a new one. Built motors, you spend $15,000, $20,000, $5,000 to $6,000 refreshing them every year. Then go down to VP Racing Fuel and spend $4,000 on some fuel. You haven't left the race shop and you spent $10,000. So that is the reason why most of these cars have gone to crate engines. Had to check with the 53 team. Was a left front caliber brake let go on the 53 team. So that's what put Cole Butcher on the sidelines for today.
That's a tough break for the 53 team. And I asked him last week in Victory Lane if he was leading the points, would he reconsider that part-time role that he was talking about, and he kind of hesitated, and then he said no. So I guess this won't help his efforts. The schedule had that he wasn't coming to the Kaylee Honda Triple 50, but you know, they're race car drivers. We'll see what happens throughout the week, but I know he wants to focus a little bit on the down south stuff, wants to focus a little bit on his brother, but we'll see what transpires here next week. There's still 7 days in between here in Riverside.
And an interesting observation, as I mentioned, we've had cautions at the third mark here tonight. Lap 50, we're on lap 98 here. That's something that's going to play out next week with the triple 50s, but picture this. Imagine if we did what we're going to do at Riverside. We may invert the field. So imagine you're Dylan Blankhorn. You're leading for a good majority of this race. You're going to go to the back of the pack. Could happen next week with the Kaylee Honda triple 50s at Riverside.
Abs McDonald is tuned in. Me and Lisa, my wife, are rooting for Darren McKinnon.
I know he's a big Darren McKinnon fan, and I know he's been watching, and we're getting ready to see a green flag here. Darren will roll from position number 7 as we will have 99 laps completed. Green flag back in the air, and Dylan Blankhorn on the loud pedal.
Down they come into turn one or number two. A little contact, a little rubbing going on. It is close and tight. And Jared Butcher gets to the inside, pushing the five of Jonathan Hicken to the outside as they are in pursuit now with the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn. Give that lap to the 54 of Butcher for second spot as Jarrett gets out in front of the number five of Jonathan Hicken. Right behind him is the eight of Kent Vincent, then the zero of Sean Turpel. But out in front, putting another car length on it, is the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn.
Well, there's 50 laps to go. We're going to see what that Jared Butcher's got in that race car. He sits two, three lengths behind Dylan Blankhorn, and you know he's hungry for that win. He's going to give 150% behind the wheel of that 54 car.
He's on the podium right now in position number two, but he wants one more position to try to break through and win his first Partridge Trucks Pro Stock Tour race. But he's got one more car to pass, and he's got a whole hungry host behind him. Jonathan Hicken has fallen to third. Kent Vincent has been consistent so far this evening to fourth, and Sean Turpel in fifth. But Turpel has Hughes, McKinnon, and Hall lined up behind him.
Kent Vincent's a car on the move here, and I'll tell you, I think Jared Butcher's giving 154% because he is within a car length of Dylan Blankhorn in the 67. Things are heating up here at the Cummins 150.
The question is Blankhorn giving it all, or is he saving some? Letting the 54 Jared Butcher use his car up. As they close up the gap, that's been the closest competition the last laps. 2 to 3 lengths back. Jared Butcher closes right up on the bumper coming off of four. One car length between them.
And down in turns one and two, Butcher within a half a car length of Blankhorn as they come out down the back straightaway, stretches it to a car length, and he'll tighten it up once again in the turn three and four down the front straightaway. And Blankhorn might be toying with Jared Butcher, or Jared Butcher might have enough race car to make Dylan Blankhorn use his up.
If I was a betting man, Jerry, I would say the 67 is saving some. Time will tell. We've got 43 laps to go here in the Cummins 150.
Top dozen or so are single file, but halfway through the pack, you see Ryan Messer trying to poke his nose underneath the 99 of Sloan White. Prevost going at it with Greg Proud, but Dylan, for the most part, it seems like these guys have found a rhythm here, but we're into that last third of this race. Jared Butcher once again steps it up. He's within a half car length now of that 67.
And if you're going to save anything, now it's the time to use it. I'm curious, Brad, because you've been pointing out that you think the 67 is saving it. I think Jared Butcher is trying to use it all here. He's been within two car lengths the entire time since this restart, and it's just going to be the beginning of what I imagine is going to be an exciting finish.
Well, what happens is Jared's really good down here in the middle of three and four. He closes it up, but then the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn pulls real hard off four, so it's a battle, and we got about 40 laps to go. It's just like a Saturday night shootout. We're going to see who's got what. I would say with about 20 to go, we'll really see who's got what.
And right now, watch that number five of Jonathan Hicken. He is staying just shy of that battle up in front. Maybe saving a little bit for that race car, hoping that the other two, at least one of them, uses up the car, and he's ready to pounce.
Nice run for Kent Vincent in the eight car, sitting in fourth all by himself, but the bottleneck is fifth on back. You got Turpel, you got Hughes, you got McKinnon, you got Hall. Put a blanket over those four, fighting for that fifth spot.
Battle for the lead up in front, the 54 of Jared Butcher to the inside and Dylan Blankhorn. Blankhorn was sideways off at turn two. It opened the door for Butcher to the inside, and the Superior Foundation's 54 trying to close the deal and come to the front of the field. Blankhorn fights back on the outside.
We're going to have some
traffic's going to play a role here as these two go side by side. Blankhorn on the outside is going to pinch Butcher in.
And here they come in turn number two. They're trying to get around the 0-2 of Craig Ward, and Butcher gets it up in front, puts Blankhorn solidly behind him. Jared Butcher to the lead. Blankhorn falls back to second as the lap cars help Jared Butcher make that pass.
Well, Jared Butcher with the lead now. Blankhorn closing it in as they go around the lap car. Alvin McKinnon about five car lengths
spin
back.
Waylon Farrell spins in the middle of three and four.
And everybody clears him, so that'll bring out a caution. And that'll be interesting to see because it almost looks like on the restarts, the outside groove has been the preferred place to be.
Okay, we're going to hit a quick break here on Race Time. 117 laps complete. We'll be back.
Hey, race fans, this is Larry Berrio, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talk.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Race Time Radio in Nova Scotia.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Only on Faction Talk. Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Let the celebration begin. It's 50 years for Riverside International Speedway in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. And Racetime Radio will be live Saturday, June the 8th for the Riverside International Speedway season opener. It's live flight-to-flight coverage of the Kaylee Honda Triple 50s. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Saturday, June the 8th.
Am I allowed to burn her down?
Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Burn the mother down.
For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Welcome back to Race Time Radio. As we get ready to go back to green, we'll have 118 laps completed when we cross the stripe. And for the first time, Jarrett Butcher is your leader. He chose the inside line. Blankhorn on the outside. Hicken, Vincent, Turple, and Hughes, your top six. Here they come through three and four. Blankhorn on the outside trying to get the jump as the green flag flies. And Dylan, it looks like Blankhorn may have got a little bit of a jump there.
Oh, he was well out in front of the 54, Jarrett Butcher. Blankhorn's going to charge down into turn three, still in the outside lane. Butcher not giving up any real estate, but Blankhorn is going to make the pass.
And now add Hicken to the play. Hicken stuck right in behind Jarrett Butcher. What a battle up front, side by side, down the backstretch. Jarrett Butcher, Blankhorn go door handle to door handle into three. Jarrett Butcher
and
fights
a spin,
back.
McKinnon spin. They all got stacked up, a big wreck. Haas slams into the 18.
The 48 of Waylon Farrell also off the end of the track there. Don't believe he had any contact out there. Don't know how. I just seen the car.
He just went around. That was a big wreck, and there is a lot of front end damage on Harry Ross White's number 49. I think his day is done.
Yeah, it really kind of looks that way, man. Yeah, big impact on that one.
Got some air. He was up in the air.
Yeah, he sure was. And Waylon Farrell back out onto the racetrack. No harm, no foul. This side looks good. Look okay there, Jer.
Well, the 18 of Darren McKinnon, they're working the left side of the car. It's tore up a little bit, so they're having a look to see what the damage is underneath. They kind of just peeled away a little bit of those body panels and threw it back over to the pit wall.
It's a tough break for Haas. Really had nowhere to go in that one. Spun it out and got into the door of Darren McKinnon. And we're going to have 31 laps to go, or 30 laps to go, when we go back to green flag racing. And that restart, Jarrett Butcher, Dylan Blankhorn going at it for that top spot. And it looked like Dylan may have snookered the 54 a little bit on that restart, but it's the end of the race. These guys are going to go hard for these spots at the end.
Oh, yeah, they got to go. If you're going to use it, you got to use her up now. 119 laps complete. Brad, you've been in this spot before. What do you got to do to win this one?
Well, I kind of like the outside on the restart just because of the position the race car is. If you can get that jump like Dylan Blakehorn had, you're almost on the outside. You got to be up to about the six on Dylan's car ahead of the other car. So when you come off the straightaway, you're dead even. If you're dead even coming back here through the corners, it's just not going to cut it. And you got one shot at this on the restart, so you want to beat Johnny on the spot. When we go back green, if you're going to take a jump at it, that's the time to do it.
Well, aside from pit stops, and no one's going down pit road other than the 23 is down there, the 99. Of course, the 23 is actually right out of the car and has been for a number of laps. Let's have a look through the field here. In your first slot right now is the 54 of Jarrett Butcher. Wouldn't that be wild to see Jarrett win his first race here tonight?
Yeah, trying to win his first race. He had speed at Petty Raceway, had speed at the end of the year last year as well, and there goes Haas back. Usually you ride in the back of the ambulance. Haas is riding shotgun. So
he jumped in the side.
That's the no road way, I think, right there. Tough break for Haas, so he'll head back with the safety team back to the back pit. I believe Corey Hall will be going to the rear for that because he tagged the car going around.
Yep.
So that's number two, at least, for the 47 so far this evening.
He's actually going to be pulling in here in pit road here, Brad, pulling right in front of you.
Yeah, they're just having a quick look at it.
They'll make an adjustment. He's got to go to the back anyway, so it's a no-brainer to come in and make a little adjustment if he's going to come back up through the field. They'll check tire pressure here. Rolly McDonald's got the tire gauge out going around it, so just looks like a routine pit stop, and we'll see what they do for some adjustments.
Hey, guys, okay. I'm not sure what's going on in the 99 to Craig Slonwhite. They've been in and out of the pits the last little bit here. They keep lifting up the rear end of the car, working underneath it. They've changed left side tires. For a moment, it looked like it might have been an electrical issue. They had the window out of the car right behind the driver, reaching in to work there and got underneath it. So whatever they're fighting, they're trying everything.
Absolutely. They will never quit, those guys. Let's take you through the field as I was going to do before. The 67 of Blankhorn is now the guy that is showing up front. The 54 of Jarrett Butcher running in the second slot. The five car of Jonathan Hicken back in the third slot. Look back to fourth. It's the eight of Kent Vincent. Back to Sean Turple. And that would be what, the fifth spot?
Fifth spot, and then followed by the number 82. That is Chris Hughes in that number 82, and he's having a great race here today as well. And then in seventh, it's the 89 of Donald Chisholm, who's also been sitting in about that same area for most of this race here. And then after that, it's the 91 of Dylan Gosby, who has been keeping his nose clean, had to actually avoid Harry Ross White there. He was right in the middle of that big wreck.
Sure was. Rounding out your top 10, that one of Ryan Messer. Had a great race for a guy. Now, was he at Petty? He was.
He was at Petty. Top 10 run for him in his first ever Pro Stock Tour start. So team that doesn't have a whole lot of help, but they get up and down the road. Rob and Penny do a great job on that race car. And Ryan is a really great kid. It's great to see him running up here in the top 10. And then Greg Proud right behind him as well. Want to give a shout out to Kenny Upol and Elmsdale as well. They came on board this year for the Kenny Upol Elmsdale Hard Charger Award. So we'll see who gets that at the end of the race. The driver who gains the most positions from the start to the end will pick up a cash bonus from Kenny Upol. And Exide Batteries back on board for our Rookie of the Race Award and the Rookie of the Year Award. And looking back through here, the first eligible driver that would be a rookie, I believe, would be Big Orange Ryan Messer.
Yeah, sure would be. Let's have a look. 29 of Proud. He's back probably in, what, the 10th, 11th spot. 10th? You count.
I like 10th.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. 11th. You got Rusty Smith in the 44. Another beautiful-looking race car.
That's the rookie stripe.
You got to have glasses on. Like, I mean, you got to have sunglasses on to look at that even at night.
They don't need a rookie stripe on the back of the car. They painted or they vinyled the whole car as a rookie stripe. Chris Ewing did a great job on that with Signs by Crest.
He sure did. Back in that 13th spot, looks like the 11 of Marty Prevost, and then, well, five-time, sitting back there in 13th spot, the 97 of John Fleming, back to the 07 of Allison McKinnon, the other McKinnon, the 18 of Darren McKinnon, right behind his cousin. Back to Craig Slonwood. He's back on the racetrack, 48, Waylon Farrell, the 47 car, and the 02. That's who we've got on the track right now.
And Sergeant Rob Bone is telling us that we're going to get a green flag next time around. As you can see, these drivers are really focused in. Just the way they're making their way around the racetrack. They are tightening up the field. The pace car heads off to the infield. Dylan Blankhorn brings them around to the green flag. We're back racing.
And it's Blankhorn getting the early jump on that start as he started on the bottom. It's going to be Butcher looking to fight back outside, but he's got a mirror full of Hicken trying to get under him. So a late restart, and Blankhorn pulls away.
Hicken is there to the inside of the 54 of Jared Butcher, going at it for position number two. Jared Butcher going to have to dig deep here and try to take second place back from the Chapman Brothers Construction 5 of Jonathan Hicken. Vincent alone in fourth, Turple alone in fifth, and then it's a brawl back there for sixth.
Oh, it's a brawl everywhere, and up in front, it's Dylan Blankhorn pulling away from Jonathan Hicken and Jared Butcher. Butcher just can't seem to clear Jonathan Hicken, and while they duel it out, we got the 67 pulling away.
Jared Butcher had to go from hunting to defending in that second spot as the 5 of Hicken now gets the 54 for the second spot. But maybe not so quick. Here comes the 54 back up the inside, Jared.
And that's exactly where Jared Butcher wanted to be, was down on the low side of the racetrack. That's where that 54 car works the best. He's going after the 5 of Hicken, trying to get that second spot back. And he is working at it hard. They are door to door through turns 3 and 4 down the front straightaway. And over the stripe, too close to call, but it's Jared Butcher in the corner. That car is just so good. It rotates through the turn. Makes a great time. He put Hicken behind him.
Butcher clears Hicken. Now he's going to set a sight on Blankhorn. As Blankhorn build up about a 10-car lead, we'll see what Butcher's got to chase him down here. Kent Vincent's closed up almost on the back bumper. Hicken. Sean Turple sits in fifth. And look who's up to sixth. Donald Chisholm, followed by Hughes, Chris Hughes, Dylan Gosby, and Greg Crowell.
And Marty Prevo at the edge of turn 4, and he spins out on the front stretch.
That'll draw the caution, no doubt at all, as Marty Primo's.
Not quite yet, now it does.
Well, it's gonna. They're not gonna leave the car sitting there, I can guarantee it.
Well,
with 127 laps complete.
So it puts the 11 car a lap down by the late caution coming out, so they'll have to get the 11 car going here. Blankhorn loving that when the 54 and the 5 car Hicken going at it, let Blankhorn get away out front. So we'll have to bunch them all back up, and this is long from over yet. With 127 on the books, they'll go back to 126. We got 24 laps to go here to decide the winner.
Actually, it was 128, and they put it back to 127. I just seen them do it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are on lap 127. 67, what do you say? The guys had a bullet of a car all day. The 54 took the lead, and then on the next restart, the 67 said, enough, I'm going back up. And but the 54 had to defend on the 5, and oh, by the way, you got to add in the number 8 of Ken Vincent with his Crooks new car last year on his way to the front. So.
And the 8 car, Kent Vincent, has been quietly dominant, let's put it that way, in that position number 4. He's kind of parked it there, hasn't let anybody pass him, hasn't been able to really fight with the top 3, but now we're getting down to the time to put all your chips on the table and let it roll. But I like what Jerry said earlier, where the 54 is able to roll the center a little bit better than everybody else, but he wants that inside line. He didn't have that inside line when we went green, and the 5 of Jonathan Hicken pounced on it, and they went side by side, and Dylan Blankhorn got out by a half straightaway. So if they can continue to do that, it's going to be make Dylan Blankhorn a very happy camper, but we still got at least one more restart.
Brad, with the changing conditions now, well, it's not really changing conditions, but it is getting later in the day. Does it change the track enough that it's going to maybe play with the car's setup?
No, the only thing this does, Joe, is the long cautions lets the tires cool down, so lets you get a little bit more grip in them, these long cautions. The trouble that Butcher's going to have, he's going to be up on the outside of 67 here and Hicken to be down on the bottom looking to pounce on that second spot again, so he's going to have his hands full, and if they get going at it hard, that just makes it nice for Blankhorn to drive up through. So this restart's going to be interesting. and we may not have seen her last restart. Don't think that the restarts might be all over yet.
You're sounding like Larry Mack now. You're predicting.
I'm predicting cautions. What a novel thing to do.
As the field is all doubled up, lap 127 of tonight, Cummins 150, Hearts for Trucks, Pro Stock Tour, second race of the season. Man, you don't want to miss these races. Sure glad you tuned in, but you got to get to the track. Here we go. Green flag is back out. They're coming at you, Paxton.
And Dylan Blakehorn has a great restart, but so does Jarrett Butcher on that outside lane, but not as good. He does fall in line behind the 67 of Blakehorn, and now he's going to try to work to the inside as they come around. Again, down to turns one and two. Blakehorn leads the freight train. Jarrett Butcher, then the five of Jonathan Hicken, Kent Vincent, and the zero of Turpo, all in single file.
We got a little bit of a stack up in the middle of the corner. Russell Smith Jr. falls back a couple of positions, but we stay green up in front. Continues to be the 67 of Dylan Blakehorn. And Dylan, the 54, was able to fall into line and get single file. And I thought that would be his opportunity to pounce on Blakehorn. But Blakehorn, he saved something. He's turned the wick up here.
I think Jarrett Butcher's better on the long run. And this is going to be a tough one because it's not going to be that long of a run. We are less than 20 laps to go here. Although, never say never. We don't know if there's going to be any more cautions. We are running out of time for Jarrett Butcher to try and snag his first Pro Stock Tour victory.
Well, it's Blakehorn leading the field by about 3 car lengths. Jarrett Butcher sits in second. 2 car lengths back is Hicken. Ken Vincent comfortable in fourth. The Turbo is creeping in on his bumper. That's the top five. Chisholm, Hughes, and look at Big Orange, Ryan Messer, running an eight.
They continue to work around here single file as the 99 of Swanaway beginning to work his way from the back of the field. He's got Corey Hall, the 47, to the inside, but they are quickly running out of time. 15 laps to go in the Cummins 150.
And that is almost a hornet's nest between Corey Hall, Swanaway, and Greg Proud, including also Darren McKinnon and Dylan Gosby in the 91. Up in front, it's Dylan Blakehorn pulling away from the 54 and the 5. Jonathan Hicken is making Jarrett Butcher work for that second place spot.
Well, that takes place as Blakehorn's got to like that, but Hicken is hungry and he's looking for that second spot, so he's all over the back bumper. Jarrett Butcher, and Hicken puts the bumper to him a little bit going into one and two. They go at it down the back stretch. What a battle for that second and third spot. Ken Vincent sitting back comfortably watching it in fourth.
And right behind him, the zero of Sean Turpo has a little bit of a mirror full of the 89. Bob Donald Chisholm, as Chisholm tries to get into that top five. The 82 of Chris Hughes is right there as well, along with the number one of Ryan Messer. So this is far from over. There may be single file, but they are still trying to battle with one another. There's a little bumper rubbing going on as they fight for positions.
As Blakehorn crosses the line, it's 10 to go. He's got a 5-car lead over Butcher. Hicken all over the back bumper of Butcher. And it's Ken Vincent sitting back and forth comfortably. Turple about 6 car lengths back in fifth. Donald Chisholm sitting in sixth. Got a mirror full of Chris Hughes.
He's going to come up on lap traffic. The 02 of Craig Ward, the 07 of Allison McKinnon ahead of your leaders. This could play a part in the finish of this Cummins 150. Top three about a car length in between each other. Little ways back to Vincent, then a little ways back to Sean Turville in the zero car as they work to the outside of the thrillmaker.
Jarrett Butcher is reeling in. Dylan Blakehorn, the 67, using the 02 as a pick, but he is running out of time, coming up to 7 to go here at the Cummins 150. Another slow car. McKinnon will be in front of the leaders. He'll move out of the way as we go into turn one.
As it said, Blakehorn taking his time, getting around the lap cars. That lets Jarrett Butcher close up the gap. He's within 2 car lengths behind. He has trouble with the lap car of McKinnon. Loses a few spots.
And now it is Butcher who working through turn two down the back straightaway. About 2 car lengths behind the 67 of Blakehorn. But as they come through the turn, Jarrett Butcher closes it to a single car length. We've got 5 to go, and Butcher is trying to steal that lead away from the 67 of Blakehorn. He wants this win. He is now realizing the lap count is down. It's go time, and there is nothing to be saved.
And it's Blake Horn pinching it down low. He doesn't want to give that bottom to Butcher. Butcher up on the back bumper. Down now, Butcher closes up, coming off a three. He's almost touching the back bumper of Blake Horn. They go nose to tail down the front straightaway.
Jared Butcher has turned up the wick the last couple laps. He is there on the back bumper of the Quinn Flooring, number 67 of Dylan Blankhorn. Jonathan Hicken is closing in. Blankhorn playing defense here with two laps to go in this one. The 54 of Jared Butcher trying to hold on to this second place position at the racetrack. He goes. Jonathan Hicken closes in on the 54 sideways as Butcher opens the door for Hicken. White flag for Blankhorn. Final lap in the Cummins 150. It's a battle for second. Jonathan Hicken to the inside of the 54 of Jared Butcher, but up in front of them, it's all Black Betty working through three and four, and Dylan Blankhorn returns to victory lane on the tour. Second is going to be Hicken, and Butcher is third. We'll go down trackside and chat with the top three.
Good luck trying to figure out who finished that race second.
That was a really, really close finish for second. I couldn't even tell you. There was maybe a quarter of an inch there.
I'm telling you what, Dylan, I had my eyes peeled on that, and I can't tell you who finished second. Unbelievable race here tonight. Jerry, that there was one that we're going to remember for a long, long time.
Oh, unquestionably, that came down to that very last lap battle, and it was a battle for second, not the lead at that point. But, boy, Jonathan Hicken and Jared Butcher really putting on the show, but it was the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn who put on the lesson.
Brad, just like you were saying, he's going to reel him in. He's coming. And look at the finish we ended up with. The 5 of Hicken got up the inside of the 54. Man, what a finish.
Yeah, the scoreboard says 54 got second. It was too close to call from up there, so the scoring monitors would pick it up. But according to the scoreboard, it's Butcher got second, Jonathan Hicken third, Ken Vinson fourth, and Turple fifth. So what a run, what a battle. Fans got to love racing like this. That's just awesome.
It doesn't get any better than that. We will have words with the top three. You can guarantee that as the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn rolls his way into victory lane. And official unofficial results, of course, in hand from scorekeepers. It is the 54 of Jared Butcher finishing that race second.
0.03 of a second between the 54 and the 5, Jonathan Hicken. You can't get any closer than that here.
Unbelievable here tonight. Who we got down there on? I see Brad. He is heading for the top three. Tim Terry, you down there?
I'm going to pick up Hicken here in a minute, Joe.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll hear from Jonathan Hicken.
Is Jonathan Hicken in? Jared Butcher hugged. They had a clean race. Jonathan, tight battle. You were there all night long. And how about that battle with you and Jared Butcher going door handle to door handle? And a lot of respect there between the two teams and some clean racing.
Oh, that's the kind of racing that you or I go back to, Brad. It's just battle it out right to the finish line. I don't know if I got him or not, but it doesn't look like I did. But I just... You got to take these young fellas in stride. I tell you, they're moving all over us old fellas.
You make us sound like old fellas. You and I go way back when we started that, and these fellas weren't here. But you're right; they are forced to be reckoned with here on the circuit.
Oh yeah, for the most part, they're all fun to race with. They're all learning. You got to give them their space. I've been there before. I don't know what to say. It's a pretty good night. Second race in this Fury car. It's pretty badass so far.
Very good. That's from Jonathan Hicken all the way from the island. Third place. Two races, two good finishes. He's happy with that Fury race car.
Jump in there, Jerry.
We got it here. The congratulations are going on around. Jared, now, you fought, baby. You fought hard.
Oh, yeah. I know the Superior Foundation Chevrolet it was really good tonight. I got to work on my restarts there. Dylan knows how to do them. I think we had a chance to win. We showed we could, and we brought it home second place, no rough damage.
That outside lane wasn't your friend.
No, I don't think anyone had a car for the outside. Just didn't seem like have much traction all night. It rotated on the center. When I hit my marks, it was awesome. I mean, I got to thank my crew. He's stuck with me over the last 3 years. We finally got our first top three. Adam, Greg, Kirk, he's not here tonight, but thank you. Pixie, Nancy, Matt, Turple, Cassie, all the dad, my brother, thank you so much. And my sponsors, Living Dreams, Superior Foundation, Slane Tiltload, Top Construction, Sammy Conjure Automotive, Fossil Power Systems, and Make-A-Wish.
Hey, I saw your brother Cole come over and congratulate you, but on my way by, I said to him, did that look familiar? Because, man, that looks like we've seen that battle before. So did Cole give any notes beforehand?
Nothing beforehand, but once the whatever happened to him during the race, he got on the radio towards the end and trying to give me some pointers, and he helped me out. So we're getting close on that win.
Congratulations to Jared Butcher bringing it home in second place.
Your Cummins 150 winner is Dylan Blankhorn. Gets congratulations from Jonathan Hicken. Restarts, a lot of it. Restarts on the inside. It looks like you guys had them snookered here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. This Jared, I was scared. I think Jared had a little bit better car than me because he got out front. And I came in the radio and I was like, guys, I don't know. I got to get him on the restart. If not, you know, he's going to drive away. I think he should have, maybe Cole should have kept that race car. I don't know. But, you know, but John was good. Man, I just get a hats off to, you know, everyone. Man, the stuff that I battled the last month, you know, personally, you know, business-wise, just to get in victory lane, man, it's everything I went through. But it's just everyone, you know, sticking behind me. Obviously, the crew today made the car. I think we changed Packers. That's about it. So just want to thank Blake Horns, Quinn Flooring, Autorite Service Center. Yeah, and everyone, you know, helped out in the car today. I mean, the first 75 laps, I was just, you know, milking it. Like, I was like, guys, I think we really got something for them. But, yeah, you know, it's awesome to be in victory lane again. You never know when, you know, another one's going to come. So this is wicked.
From the back at Petty, here out in front all night long. We go to Riverside next week. Is the new car coming out anytime soon, or do we still have some magic here in Black Petty?
I think we got to, before we bring the new car out, we got to name her first, so... If someone come up with a name,
got to be C, right?
Has to be a C. Has to be a rock song.
So there we go. If anybody wants to chime in on Twitter or anything else, but congratulations to Dylan Blankhorn. He's your winner in the Cummins 150.
What an unbelievable race here tonight at Scotia Speed World. Let me take you through the unofficial results now. Of course, the winner, you just heard from him, number 67, of Dylan Blankhorn. In second spot, the 54, of Jared Butcher. Back into the third spot, it was the number 5 of Jonathan Hicken. In fourth spot, the number 8 from PEI, it was Ken Vincent. In fifth spot, the 0. I got to turn that down because those have turned down my own mic. That's the one I needed to turn down right there. Okay, let me get back to this then. The number 5 spot, it was the 0. Yeah, of Sean Turple. In sixth spot, the number 89, Nova Celtic Ford, of Donald Chisholm. Back in seventh spot, the number 82 of Chris Hughes. Eighth spot was the number 1, raced like a veteran, rookie in the series, but man, he had a great run. The number 1 of Ryan Messer. In ninth spot, it was the 18 of Darren McKinnon. Back in 10th spot, the number 47 of Corey Hall. The 11th spot, the 99 of Craig Slonwhite, back to 12th, 91 of Dylan Gosby. 13th spot, the number 48 of Waylon Farrell. 14th spot, the 29 of Greg Proud. 15th was the 97 of John Fleming. 16th spot, the number 44 of Russell Smith Jr. 17th, the 11 of Marty Prevost. 18th was the 07 of Allison McKinnon. 19th spot was the 02 of Craig Ward. 20th spot, the number 49 of Harry Ross White. 21st, disappointing day for race winner number 1, the 53 of Cole Butcher. In 22nd spot, the number 23 of Lonnie Somerville. 23rd spot went to the 08 of Nicholas Noggle. And your 24th place finisher here today in the Cummins 150 was the number 21 of Sean Pierce. Guys, got to throw it down to, let's go to Jerry. Jerry, what do you got for closing thoughts on this one?
I'm not sure where to begin, but I want to point out that as we were choosing our winners, I couldn't pick the 67 because Brad was going to do that, and I knew it. And Brad's way too big for me to fight with. So I picked Jonathan Hicken, and look who finished third. Like, that was a great car. But I got to say, this field was unbelievable. What a battle. And battles throughout the race, throughout the field. Nobody gave up. And we brought a lot of cars home clean here at the front end. It's amazing. It's fantastic racing. They did a great job. And congratulations to Dylan Blankhorn. If I was him, I don't think I'd ever give up Black Betty. I'd be holding that car forever. Yeah. That thing just works way too good.
Yeah.
And Jared Butcher, what a show. I mean, second year in the Pro Stock Tour, and look at him go. He is really on fire. And, of course, Jonathan Hicken, I picked him in the beginning. I saw where he started, and he almost made it to the podium on the number one spot.
How about you, Mr. Bradman? What did you think of that 150?
Well, that was an enjoyable one, as we thought after looking at the heat races. They certainly put on a show. Blakehorn running away with it early. Butcher coming through the field, making it interesting. Caution heading to come out. Who knows? Butcher may have won that one. Heard Dylan Blakehorn said he thought Butcher had a better car in victory lane, but that inside lane, the leader's choice, where he wants to start on restarts, played a big role here today in the closing laps. But what a run. You got two youngsters. And as Jonathan Hicken said when I interviewed him, one old guy. So the sport is in good shape with the youngsters alive and well and the guys to beat, along with the old guys still showing they can still drive. We're in from one exciting season. It's going to be some interesting at the end of all this, Joe. Yes. Last day, we could see 4 to 5 cars fighting for a championship. Now, wouldn't that be a story here at Scotia Speedway?
I can see it coming. Definitely, the competition here just doesn't quite get any better. It was an amazing run. Good job down there, bud.
We keep saying every race, Joe, it can't get any better, and they keep making liars out of us. Every race, it gets better and better, and these guys get better and better. And had a long talk with Jared Butcher's dad in the pit before the races, and Jared spending a lot more time on the car this year and getting a lot more interested in it. It's certainly showing on the racetrack, so now he's a force to be reckoned with. As his brother goes off, he showed his stuff here. He'll go down south and try to make a name for himself down there. So Butcher racing in great shape. The Pro Stock Tour in awesome shape. When you can put on a show like this and people battling it out to the last lap, you can't ask for any better than that.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend. Well, Dylan, what did you think of that one there?
How can't you be impressed by Jared Butcher? I mean, that was an incredible run. You know, he probably wished it was a 200-lap race here tonight because he was so good on the long runs. But that race, though, what a race. I mean, Dylan Blankhorn had that dominant car. I'm just thinking, because he's got that new car, does he have to have black in the title? Because if he has a new car, he should call it Sweet Caroline. Come on.
It doesn't have to have black in the name, as far as I know, because I was talking to Terry a little bit earlier, but as he mentioned, it has to be a C and it has to be a rock song. You used to work at a rock station, didn't you?
Who doesn't like the song Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond? Not exactly a rock song, but it's a favorite here in the Maritimes.
Well, I guess we'll have to pitch that.
But
Joe,
that is Sweet Caroline.
Yes.
So it doesn't start with a C. It starts with an S and goes to a C.
But victory is sweet, though, right?
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's true. Tim Terry, closing thoughts. What do you got?
A great race. Congratulations to Dylan Blankhorn and that team. And they dug deep when they needed to. Jared Butcher was closing at the end. Jonathan Hicken wasn't going to let it go easy. And it was so close, as Brad mentioned. I thought it was the five that had that position. So it was close. Comes down to that those milliseconds, thousands of seconds. And great to see Jared Butcher on the podium. That kid drove his rear end off today. And congratulations to that team. They'll head to Riverside with a little bit of momentum. And Dylan Blankhorn heads back to a place where he's been to victory lane a couple of times at Riverside for the Kaylee Honda Triple 50s. It's been a great race here. All kinds of stories. Ken Vincent, solid in fourth all day long. Chris Hughes had a top 10 run. Big Orange Ryan Messer had a top 10 run today. So you look back through the field, it was really a great race here to really kick off the season at Scotia Speed World for the Pro Stock Tour. We'll be here 3 more times this year. And coming up on Friday, Torsec Twin 50s. Dave Matthews was here with me last Friday night. He's going to be in the field. And Alex Johnson going to be joining me in the tower on Friday night. And then we head up to Riverside for the Triple 50s. It's going to be a very exciting next couple of weeks here as we really kick off summer in the Maritimes.
Well, it is. It's going to be just dynamite. I know we look forward to our next live broadcast, which will come up next Saturday, live from Riverside International Speedway. the Kaylee Honda Triple 50s, as Tim just mentioned. That's what we got coming at you. Now, Sunday night's Racetime Radio that would take place on Sunday night won't be, as we are preempted this week, due to the Raptors. They're doing really good in the playoffs, and we're going to be preempted this week, but look for everything to come at you again next week. But that's going to do it for us here today at Scotia Speed World. I got to thank Susie Q back in the studio for getting things all wired up and getting us to you, the listeners and the fans here at Scotia Speed World. Don't forget to tune in to that NASCAR Pindies race. It's coming up on fanschoice.tv. See a race live from Jucasa. See if your favorite wins or places real well. I'll tell you what, Dylan Blankhorn here at Scotia, he did exactly what he wanted to do here today, and that's win himself a race. He's got it, and that's going to do it for us. You have a good, safe weekend, and we'll catch you next Saturday live from Riverside International Speedway. Tickets are available. Get to riversidespeedway.ca and get yours today. We'll see you there. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.